The Democratic candidates running for president would almost have to defy the laws of physics to campaign in all of the 9 states holding primaries or caucuses in the next 8 days, from South Carolina and Delaware to Arizona and New Mexico. Syndicated columnist Mark Shields joins us in our studios. Mark, thanks very much for being with us again.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Senator Kerry announced his campaign in South Carolina, but hasn't spent a lot of time there since. On the other hand, news travels fast. The victories in Iowa and New Hampshire, how helpful are they expected to be? Can they be for him in South Carolina?
They're enormously helpful. It's the transition from what we call retail politics, where faithful attendance at wakes, weddings, funerals, and bar mitzvahs on the part of a candidate translates into votes. That's how Iowa and New Hampshire are. But that's the end of retail politics. From that point on, it's all wholesale, and it's all either free media, that is the press coverage that they receive or earn, and or paid media, that is the television advertising they put on. And because of the intense news cycle we're in, John Kerry's victory is probably known in parts of Borneo that he didn't know existed.
John Edwards likes to point out that he was born in South Carolina.
A native son.
Even if he only spent, 3 months out of his life there or something?
Nativity trumps...
On the other hand, he was counting on this to transform his candidacy, wasn't he, in the initial plan?
He certainly was. And I have to say, I remain mystified by the strategy of Kerry's opponents on Thursday night at the debate in Greenville. Yeah. I don't know if they were all conceding the race to Kerry, but, I mean, this was the last best chance to, take a shot at that lantern jaw of his and find out if it's made of glass. And other than Howard Dean in a rather decaffeinated contrast to John, his own record on health care and as governor of Vermont, and John Kerry's Senate record, boy, it was strictly patty cake and everybody being positive. And I don't see how that jumbles things when we have reports that Kerry is virtually leading everywhere except South Carolina and is even challenging in Oklahoma, which was considered truly hostile territory to him.
Let me ask about Missouri, because it's gotten newly important. People
Absolutely.
Weren't looking at it before, but with Mr. Gephardt's departure from the race, it becomes more important. A couple questions. Wesley Clark says he may not campaign there.
Well, I can't fault him for that. I mean, winning, I think the Russians once observed, has a fragrance all its own. And John Kerry has been smelling very good to contributors. Yeah. So that enables John Kerry to be on television there, plus in addition to having rather significant endorsements. And I just think because it was a brand new race and nobody really had campaign there because it had been conceded to Dick Gephardt prior to his withdrawal, I think it offers the chance for Kerry to say, look, we all began from the same position, and I won Missouri, if in fact he does. And I think that will strengthen his case that the electability / inevitability of his candidacy.
How do you see Wesley Clark's candidacy at this point? Just a few weeks ago, he seemed to be the only other candidate with double-digit standing among Democrats.
Wesley Clark's candidacy was premised upon that Howard Dean would emerge from Iowa, and when that happened, he would be the last best clear chance of the moderate, the national security credential Democrats to defeat and stop the Howard Dean bandwagon. Instead, he got a result he couldn't live with. John Kerry, finishing first with his own national security credentials based on personal biography, and then secondly, the Southern argument that Wesley Clark made being mitigated, if not neutralized, by John Edwards' surprising second place finish.
Let me draw you out a little bit about former Governor Dean's candidacy. There are reports in the press that he might, in fact, essentially concede the 7 primaries and caucuses coming up on Tuesday to concentrate on Michigan and Washington State. Does that make sense from his point of view?
It may make sense from his point of view. It makes no sense from the point of view of when we're not in arithmetic. It's not about delegates. It's about chemistry. Yeah. And the chemistry flows from the results. And the chemistry and the momentum is all with Kerry. And it's not going to be in any way interrupted if he has a big day on Tuesday, which I think I expect him to. And Howard Dean is blanked. I mean, at that point, Howard Dean is not a third place finish or a second place finish. He's in worse shape. And I think it's awfully tough then to generate that enthusiasm again in a space of 4 days between next Tuesday and the contest in Michigan and Washington.
There was a column in the New York Times on Friday that suggested he was another example of the internet bust.
I don't think that's true. I think that Howard Dean has accomplished great things, irrespective of what happens from this point forward. Howard Dean gave the Democratic Party back its soul when it comes to fundraising. Democrats didn't like to look at it. In fact, they looked away when they saw what went on in the Clinton years at the White House, where gardeners were giving six-figure contributions and people were literally buying access and being rewarded with Lincoln bedroom stays for soft money contributions. And the Democrats had almost become very comfortable, even cozy, in the company of large corporate contributors. And you saw it reflected, I think, somewhat in the party's agenda. What Howard Dean proved, and for the entire political world, is that running a campaign on small contributions is not only possible, in this case, it was exceptionally successful. And he did it on the basis of what he stood for. He alone, of the major Democratic candidates, opposed President Bush's war in Iraq. And for that reason, thousands of Democrats.
I think the Kucinich people like to point out.
That's right. Excuse me. Dennis Kucinich did vote against it. But thousands of people flocked under that banner. And I think he proved that it's doable. And it's a marvelous, marvelous example for future Democratic candidates or Republican candidates. John McCain started in 2000, but Howard Dean took it to a new and successful level in 2004.
It's amazing how different things can look once people actually start voting, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it's an absolutely marvelous process. And anybody who doubts and raises questions about the demographic representativeness of Iowa and New Hampshire, I urge them next time just to go up there to either place and to watch this marvelous process as school teachers and nurses and janitors and truck drivers actually ask questions of presidential candidates and demand answers in town hall forums. And it's a marvelous, marvelous process. And I think for the most part, it works.
Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Syndicated columnist Mark Shields.